That's what they start at the same time.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Avol, Perek Sheni, Halacha Aleph, Chapter 2, Law 1. We're now going to get into the specifics as to which relatives you are obliged to mourn for. Elu Sha'adam Chayli Sabal Aleim Din Torah. These are the following relatives that it's biblically required to mourn for them. And there'll be a correlation between the relatives that a Kohen must to make himself tame for, and those same relatives are the ones we're biblically obliged, who are not, we're not Kohanim, we're obliged for them. So let's take it carefully here. Imo, your mother, va'aviv, your father, beno, your son, ubito, your daughter, ve'achiv, and your brother, va'achos, and your sister, but these are brothers and sisters, me'aviv, from your father's side. Okay, obviously both is even better, but they have to be brother from your father's side or sister from your father's side for it to be biblically obliged to mourn for them, because these are the ones that are explicitly stated in the Torah that a Kohen is metame himself. Okay, we will see. Because we're talking about those that, just like a son and a daughter inherit, so to a brother and a sister that are in his inheritors, that are from the father's side as opposed to the mother's side, where there is no inheritance, and therefore they are not biblically obliged to mourn for them. However, the Rambam adds three more relatives that are rabbinically obliged. Umidivrayim, and rabbinically, she's abala ish al ish tohanesua, that the man mourns for his wife that he is married to. It's only rabbinically. We'll see in a minute why. V'cheina ish al-bal, and a woman for her husband, rabbinically. Umis abel al-ochiv val-ochoso sheheim me'imo. And he mourns for his father, for his sister and brother from the mother's side. That's who he mourns for. Okay, now, the Rambam's Shita is, now here's the point. If you look in the Psukim, in Parshas Emor, when it talks about the relatives, it does clearly mention these six relatives. Now, Christian, what does the Torah mention about a wife? It doesn't really say a wife in the Torah. It says, ki im li shero ha-karov elav, to his relative who is close to him. Now, the Gemara Yavamah learns, who is she'ero? She'ero, he says, that's his wife. That's his wife. That's what the Torah meant when it said She'ero. However, the Rambam says that's only a rabbinic drush. It's only a rabbinic drush. The Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple meaning of the text, when it says that a coin is Tame to brother, sister, father, mother, and when it means She'ero HaKorovlo, it means a relative. It means unto his relatives, which includes those six, really, and those are the ones you're biblically. And not like others, okay? There's others who disagree. The Rambam does not have the girsa in the Gemara Moed Katan. That Gemara Moed Katan says your wife are those that you biblically mourn for. The Rambam had a different girsa, a different text. And he says, no, these were just ones that were added afterwards. So you're going to mourn for them anyway. That's not a question. The question is it biblical or rabbinic? The Rambam says that a spouse is rabbinic as opposed to biblical. And the others, step brothers and sisters from the mother, is rabbinical as well. Okay, Beis. Now Beis, we have the text that's in our Rambam La'am is one text. The text you're going to have on the screen and in your book is going to be a different text. And I think the one on the screen in your book is a better text than the one that's in our Rambam La'am, as you will see. Because, Rambam, you're going to hear one thing and they're going to hear something else, so don't get confused over it. I'm just preparing you for this. So I'll show you where the difference is, but I think it means the same thing. It means the same thing, but it's written differently, and really the Rambam La'am, it's a little bit misleading. Afilu ha-kohen she'eno mistamei le'achiv. Okay. And even a kohen who doesn't become tamei to his brother. Now, in your English, that's all we have in the Rambam La'am, but the English adds the following. Achiv va'achoso, his brother and sister, me'imo, from his mother. Right?
You don't have that?
We don't have it.
I have it.
Get out of here. What is this, mine of a juice? Whoa! Look at that! Look, Martin.
You gotta pay the money.
Yeah, same
edition. It's different printing.
Gray look at market. This. Look at this.
Gray market.
Everyone thinks like I'm crazy. Let's see the
year.
Doesn't have.
What year was it printed?
Doesn't say.
Maybe the first page.
Did you buy the Chinatown?
No, I bought it in Toronto.
Knock off.
Doesn't say. Okay, I don't know. Okay, so I guess this was a more mistaken version that I have. So, Martin, everyone's fine except me. Okay.
How did you figure it out?
Because I read it. I kept reading it. It doesn't make any sense. I kept reading it, and I said, this doesn't make any sense. So I said, let me look at the other one. It had a different text. That's the only way I could. I was looking at it. It doesn't make any. The words don't sing. It doesn't say anything. So anyway, so you have it right.
I actually corrected it in my version.
So you must have a more updated version. Anyway, again, so a Kohen, even a Kohen who's not mitame to his brother and sister from the mother's side, and also not to velo le'achosa hanesua, and not to his married sister, even though she's from the brother, from the father, his sister. So he'd be biblically mourning for her, but when she gets married, though, not. So even though he doesn't become tame for them, still the halacha is misabel hu alem. He still has to mourn for them. Okay, there's two
separate. Tafshin ayin bet.
Tafshin ayin bet is only 2 years ago.
That's right.
Mine's much older. I bought it something more years ago. Anyway, so even though he doesn't become tame to her, he does mourn for her. Okay, and it depends on all different kinds of texts that you have. Others are stricter than the Rambam, more lenient than the Rambam. But that's what he holds. And even this sister who was married, and she was a sister from the father, and even though he doesn't become tamei to her, but biblically he has to be matamei himself to her. Okay. Okay. Alright, there's a whole discussion if some say he has to be a sister from both sides for him to be chayiv, to be obliged, but Rambam says not. And they bring out different stories over there, but that's the main thing. Alright, Gimel. Now Gimel is a straightforward halacha. Bino o achiv haba min hashiv ha min achiv. So let's say you have a brother or a father. Now the relationship comes from the fact that they were, let's say your brother came from a shifcha knanis. Great. Your father had you as a son and had another brother from a shifcha knanis. Or he had another brother from a non-Jewish woman. So this is your brother from your father's side, but the mother is not Jewish. Okay. That could be a son or as well. Let's say you a Jew had relations with a shifcha knanis or a goya and you had a son. So in other words, you have a relative, close relative, and that relative has non-Jewish or Canaanite slave blood in it. So enemy sabalov klal, you don't mourn for that at all, because it's not a relative. It's not a relative at all. Vechein mishin iskaru banav, let's say you and your children convert. We've already said many times that once you convert, you're like a new child, and therefore there is no real relationship involved. Let's say him and his mother were freed. Amy Sabin said they don't mourn for each other. Can't be any better than a convert. Now, the same thing would be if somebody converted himself and his father died. There's no obligation to mourn for that person from halacha. Okay? Now, doesn't mean to say that if your parent dies or your child dies, whatever, and you don't have a Jewish connection, doesn't mean to say it's forbidden for you to mourn for them in a non-halachic sense. In other words, you want to just sit in your house for a week, but we don't impose all the stringencies that a mourner normally has. For example, a mourner can't learn Torah. Okay, so let's say a person converted, his father's non-Jewish, he died. The guy feels bad, his father died. He doesn't have feelings for his father, it was his father, right? And he feels he wants to sit and think about his father for a week. He wants to be comforted for a week. There's nothing that doesn't allow a person to sit in his home for a week
Yeah.
And think about it. That's, you know, and to cry and to feel sad and to this.
And to people visit?
What? And people can visit. Listen, can visit anybody on a Sunday night any day of the year.
Yeah.
And you could say, listen, I feel bad your father died and Shem should comfort you, because you can't deny the humanness of a person. The only thing that doesn't happen is the halachic parts of the mourning don't apply. So you don't tear kriya. You don't make a blessing saying God's name, Baruch Dayan Emes. You don't not learn Torah because of that, because you're prohibited to learn Torah. Those types of things. If you want to self-impose restrictions on yourself, you don't want to bathe in comfortable water, well, you know, you're not doing a sin if you don't bathe in comfortable water. If you don't want to, what else? If you don't want to have intimacy with your wife for a week because you're feeling sad and she's okay with it, you can do that. But it's not a halachic mourning. These are shiurim that have gone on for years, but you can't. Now, if the guy said, I don't want to sit for my father at all, he's not doing anything wrong. Can't say he's doing anything wrong. But if he wants to sit, as long as he is going to do all the mitzvahs he's supposed to do, as long as he goes to minyan and davens in the minyan and all those things, then there's a reason why he can't do it. But there's no halachic mourning in that. Yeah?
So a father and a son that converted at the same time.
They're not related. They're not related to.
Brings them up for another 10 years.
They're not, again, they're not halachically related. They're not halachically related. Now again, listen, let's put it this way. If they've been frum for 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, and then the father dies, right, he's going to feel bad for the father. There's no question about it. And certainly, he may want to sit Shiva, the whole Shiva. But again, the halachas of Shiva will not apply.
You could.
Well, that's an interesting thing. There's different shitas on this. There are those who say you could say Kaddish. Because, listen, as they say in French, you can't hoit. You know, I mean, what's Kaddish? What's Kaddish? Sanctifying God's name. What's wrong with sanctifying God's name?
No, you wouldn't for a boy.
Okay, but he did raise you, right? There are some opinions. They're both.
Son
convert. Well, no. Let's look this way. The father was. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up two things. I mixed it up. Let me do it again. I was mixing two things. If both the father and son convert, then the father, who's Jewish, certainly needs an elevation of the soul, right? But it's still not exactly his son, from a halachic point of view. The son is certainly no worse than the rabbi saying Kaddish for him, and probably a little better because the son did get influenced a little bit. And, you know, whatever. So I'm just saying, you know, that Jew can need someone to say Kaddish for him. So his non-halachic son, although his biological son, but his non-halachic son could say Kaddish, and that's not a problem. Is he obliged, mamish? Can't say he's obliged, mamish, but it would probably be a nice thing to do. I mean, it's the least you could do to say Kaddish for what he did for you, and probably it would be suggested to say Kaddish for him. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with sitting Shiva. Again, there's no... The halal, he could sit Shiva, but he could shower and he could take, you know, comfortable baths and he could do all the things that a regular mourner could do. If he wants to convert him, he can convert, like, you know, could be maybe after 50 years, he doesn't want people to know that he's a convert.
That's right.
So he might want to quote unquote cover it up, as it were. But, so, now, on the other hand, what if, let's say the parents are non-Jewish? If the parents are non-Jewish, then really, they're, no obligation to say Kaddish, because it really isn't, he's not Jewish, but there are opinions who allow it though. Opinions who allow to say the Kaddish, because then, I guess it couldn't hurt to sanctify God's name, and, you know, maybe the non-Jewish father, you know, will get some kind of benefit from it, but certainly if he doesn't want to, there's no obligation to say Kaddish for him. So that's how that goes.
What's with the married sister? Is there a chiyuv for the... Is that a married sister? You want to say he's not part of the family anymore?
Rabbinic. Okay. They're still rabbinic. All these are at least rabbinic. Even if they're not biblical, they're rabbinic. A sister, you spoil. Nowadays, we always say, first of all, it's only the first day anyways, biblical. The next 6 days of Shiva are rabbinic anyway. So it's very little part of our regular shiv is mostly rabbinic. So certainly even the ones that are rabbinic, they're similar for the last 6 days anyway. So clearly for spouses, for half-sisters or brothers that are all Jewish, and you're Jewish, right, then you sit shiva for them. Now, v'chein, okay, next line. V'chein ishto arusa. What about if the wife, you only gave her an Averson? You only gave her the money. Harayat Mekudesh Shlibi, not living as husband or his wife. And then one of the two die. So if it's the wife who's engaged him, Ein Misablala, he doesn't mourn for her. Because, for example, a Kohen, again, if a Kohen was just engaged to this woman, he would not be Metame to her. So therefore, there's, and a lot of the Hilchos of us depend on Tumah. So therefore, you don't mourn for her. V'lo Onen, you don't have to go through the process of being an Onen, which we know an Onen in the days of the Talmud, in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, was forbidden to eat kachim on the day that they're an Onen. So you don't have to be an Onen, again, for this engaged one. V'chein hi lo Onenes, and she will not be a female Onen. V'lo Misabosav, and she doesn't mourn for him, because again, they're not considered She'ero, they're not considered a wife yet, one flesh. They're not like that, so they're not more of it. Again, you could be sad for them.
So it's not just a Kohen, it's everybody.
Everybody. So we don't do this nowadays. It's not Oge, because there's no such thing as Erisin alone. Right. It would be a very unusual case where he said, Arei Mekudesh is the under the Chuppah, and then he dropped dead before they said the Birchas of under the Chuppah. That would be the only way that scenario could play out.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen it. I hope I'd never see it. Yeah. The worst I've ever seen, I've seen is when the chassan broke the glass and the glass went through his foot and then he fainted. In Cleveland there was a Cleveland family. The Cleveland family, I didn't see it, but I knew the guy. There was a matter of fact, just read of it recently in Matzav. It happened recently. And Hatzolah guy had come as a holy, but it was years ago, it's maybe, I don't know, 40 years ago. I know the family in Cleveland. There was a wedding in Detroit. So the chassan broke the glass. Now somehow the shard of the glass went right through, cut his foot. He's bleeding, and the chassan fainted. And as soon as the chassan fainted, the mother of the chassan, again, she fainted. So that must have been a levedik chassan. Anyway, so that's about the worst I've seen under the chuppah.
Pretty bad.
Or I've heard about.
You should wear those boots with the triangle. You know, with the
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's very fancy European shoes, you know, soft leather. I don't know.
Or maybe she planted.
That's why you use light bulbs.
We said before, like, if they decide to break it off, if there is this gap in between, right, he has to give her a get.
Yep.
So there's this chazaka, but now we're saying it's not strong.
Because it's not called she'ero. They're not one flesh. Okay, they're not called one flesh. They really haven't bonded in any real way. Right? And even, especially Rambam, even if they're really married, it's only to Rabbanan. According to Rambam, it's only to Rabbanan as it is. If you're not living as husband and wife, like what kind of relationship do you have? Remember, when you get engaged, there's only one aspect that applies. She's forbidden to anybody else. That's only a little bit of the game. The only thing is, she can't marry anybody else. So they're not really close. They're not really feeling that kinship with each other. So therefore, a get she needs to be off the hook. But that's about it. There's no other responsibilities. So therefore, you won't mourn for each other. Now that, you hear stories, unfortunately, where engaged couples have things happen. Dalad. Now, this halakha that you're going to see now, we're going to do it in Dalad, we're going to do it in Hay, and the other Hay we're going to say, but we don't go like this. Okay, so whatever you're going to hear, I hate to say it, like almost disregard what you're going to learn, but you're going to see it. I mean, it's halakha, but Lamaisa nowadays we don't, because you're going to look at me and say, I never heard of this, this doesn't make any sense. Kol krovim shuchayv lisalvan. Any relative, that if that relative would die, you'd have to be a mourner for them. But they're not the ones who are dying. Those are the ones who are sitting shiva. A relative, who if that relative died, you'd sit shiva for them. But they didn't die. But they are sitting shiva for somebody else who's not your relative at all. We'll see in a minute who that is. So now, hareza misalva mayim bifneim. Even though they're not dead, but while they mourn for their relative, you mourn with them in front of them when you are in front of them. In other words, if it's that relative, he'll give an example in a minute, and it's medieval, it's rabbinic. So someone that's close enough to you, though, that you're not mourning because that's not a close relative that died, but they're mourning. When you're in their vicinity, you have to sit and mourn with them. In other words, to show your feelings for them and your mourning for them. Kate, so let's have a couple examples. Hare Shemes ben Beno, let's say your grandson dies. A grandfather does not mourn for a grandson, halachically, but a father mourns for a son. So now the father is mourning for the son, and the father's father, as long as he's near his son, should be mourning with him because his son is mourning for his son. Right? Oh, achi beno. Or the brother of his son, who's a brother from another marriage. He has a son, but the son has a brother from another marriage. It's his half-brother. So the son is mourning for his half-brother, but the father is not related to him at all. But if his son is mourning, then he should mourn with him. O aim beno, or the mother of a son. Same idea. Let's say a father and mother get divorced. Right? And so now the mother dies. Right? So the son is mourning for his mother.
Right.
But the father wasn't married to this woman anymore. He's not mourning for her. But if the son is mourning for his mother, then the father should mourn with his son at the same time. And look how far this would go. Chayli groa bifnei beno. You should rip your garments in front of that son. And conduct mourning when you're in front of him. Avol shalo b'fanav, but not in front of him. Ein achayv. You're not obliged. V'chein b'shara krovim, and so it is with other relatives where it would apply. Let's say your grandfather dies, or any other types of relatives like that. If there's someone mourning, then you should mourn with them. Now the halakha continues now in hey, we're not done, it continues. Ishto hanesua, let's say his married wife now. Afa pishu hu misabel alah, even though rabbinically he would have to mourn for her if she would die. Einu misabel ima al shar krovim. He doesn't have to mourn for her. Now, notice the relatives we said till now were very close blood relatives. It was your son, your mother, your brother. Those are the six close relatives. Your wife, you've already said, is a little one step removed biblically, only rabbinically. So let's say your wife is mourning for somebody else. So you don't mourn with her when she mourns her other relatives because it's not so close, with the exception of El Aviyah Valima. If she's mourning for her father and mother, then you mourn with your wife. Why? For a new reason, Mishum Kvod Isha, because that's an honor to your wife. No, in her presence, because it's for her parents. It's really honoring her, your in-laws, etc. So for your wife, it's limited to mourn with her when she mourns for her parents, but not for, let's say, her sister or other relatives. Kate said, let's have the example. If his father or mother-in-law dies, now we're going to discuss later into more detail, so don't get hung on it right now. He lists some of the mourning customs, and some of them they did in those days that we don't do nowadays. Kofa mitasa, turned over the bed. In the Talmudic times, you turned your bed over, so to speak, and you slept on an overturned bed. So he would do that, but we don't do that nowadays. But anyway, if his wife's in front of him, he would do that thing. But not in front of her, though. When it's not in front of her. And the reverse. Let's say a woman, her father-in-law or mother-in-law passed away, and the husband is now mourning. No, she conducts herself as a mourner in front of her husband. But any other relatives to our spouses, come on. So let's say his wife's brother dies, or his wife's son dies. And a woman who the brother of his husband dies, Obino, the son of her husband dies, they don't mourn for each other. And it would appear to me also the following. Let's extend it to different types of relatives via marriage. She may saw Ashes Krovo. What if the spouse of a relative of yours dies? The wife, let's say your brother's wife. And your brother is mourning for his wife. These are now your relatives mourning for their spouse. Before it was your spouse mourning for somebody else, so you mourn. So we say if your relatives are mourning for their spouse, Obal Krovo, so, or a man for his relative married, going Shemesha Ashes Beno, like the wife of his son dies, Obal Bito, or the husband of his daughter dies. So it's your son and daughter that are mourning, but they're mourning through a marriage relative. Then the father who it's only a step, it's a father-in-law, a son-in-law, or daughter-in-law, you're not obliged to mourn because the only connection is through marriage, the same thing. Anything that's similar to that, where there's all kinds of examples. Now, however, the Hagos Maimini says, that's the end of footnote Chav Dalet, Martin, way at the end. It says, nowadays we are, our custom is to be lenient in the avelos for mourners, that we mourn for them. In other words, if our relatives are mourning for someone else, we don't mourn for them. Because that was only for an honor for the avelim. And nowadays the avelim, they are moichel on their kovet. People aren't that particular with their kovet. And the opposite is, someone who mourns for them, we would only be wondering why they're doing that nowadays. And nowadays it would not be considered warning them, but rather almost be mocking and insulting them. I guess the mores were different. Hundreds of years ago, when a mourner, when your relative was mourning, so you mourned for them, they felt it was an honor for you. Nowadays, I guess, you know, people's feelings change.
This is already in Shulchan Aruch, this is written already. Your idea.
That's right.
In Shulchan Aruch. This 400 years
ago. So we're saying now if you would mourn for your spouse who's mourning for somebody else, they would think you're mocking them. I don't know what had changed across heaven. That's why this halacha does not apply. Now certainly you can be helpful. You know, if your spouse's parent passes away, you just say, oh, I don't have to mourn. I'm going to work for the week. See you later. I mean, there are aspects of giving comfort. There's a difference. We're talking about actually mourning. You sitting shiva the way you do. No, you don't do that. But to comfort them and be with them and all that, certainly that depends on how close of the husband and wife are with each other and want to care for each other. And there's certainly aspects of nichum avelim. Your spouse is sitting shiva. You have a mitzvah to comfort her. It's just like anybody else has a mitzvah to comfort her, probably more than anyone else. And therefore you may be in the shiva house the whole time, but you're not sitting on a floor. If you would do that, we would nowadays consider you to be mocking that person. And therefore we don't. Even if you want to be machmer, I love my father-in-law, and let's say you really loved your father-in-law. I want to sit shiva for him too. You're not allowed to.
But you can say kaddish for him.
You could say kaddish, you could do anything else, but you couldn't sit shiva for them. Good? Okay, we'll stop.